So we've been unbanned. We're back and we're live. We're looking hot, but apparently I couldn't get out of being in trouble. They put me back in Mark Levin's closet. It smells a little bit like like wood and talcum powder. And of course, there's a friend that was in here already, all the way from LA, Dave Rubin. Thanks for coming on Slightly Offensive.
No, glad to be here. You know, I've been hoping to come out to your show for a long time. And as Dave Rubin, you know, I thought that this show would be the most fitting for me.
Yeah, I mean, I just got to ask you, how is it being gay, running one of the most popular podcasts? Everything's going good. Just we haven't caught up in a while.
Everything's great. You know, husband's great. Everything's just been phenomenal. So really loving life right now.
Awesome. Well, for those of you guys that don't know, this is kind of a psyop. That's actually Will Witt from PragerU. That's not Dave Rubin. That was a joke.
Who's the husband then?
John Doyle's in the audience, ladies and gentlemen. He is in the audience for real. You really had me shocked there for a second. I know this was supposed to be like a bit and everything. And I thought, you know, we were getting banned. We were going to do a big surprise. And the audience, I'm looking at the comments here. Everyone is shocked. They're like, what the hell? How is that really Will Witt? But you guys, we got him here. We flew him in here. They put him in a booster seat in the airplane. It was really nice. Did you have to wear a mask on the plane?
Well, you know, kind of. I mean, you're supposed to obviously wear the mask on the plane, but we do the little move it down, move, and it's all right.
It's okay. Yeah, it's awesome. Well, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. Obviously, you know, Bill Gates let the cat out of the bag and let us know what we all know about Epstein, as well as we just found out that trans people can now skateboard.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
This is breaking news to me.
Trans rights are human rights. We got, you know, that's what's so important here, Slightly Offensive, is that we actually care about trans rights. You know that.
No, of course I know that. That's why I came on the show.
Well, we're going to talk about a lot of things right now, and we're coming up in that note. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. We are live here in Dallas, Texas. And as I said, you are joining us in the first ever live show of Slightly Offensive. So the madness continues. Will Witt, if you guys don't know who he is, and if you got psyched out by that beginning, Will Witt is not only a podcaster, a TV personality, a guy with one of the best haircuts, top 10 haircuts in conservative media, but you're also author of a brand new freaking awesome book that's crushing it right now. Yep. I'm very excited for you. Tell me about your book.
Thank you, man. Yeah, How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies is my first book ever. I've never done a book before, and so to be able to do this, I mean, it was the coolest thing I've ever done. And we actually, it came out on Tuesday, September 21st, so it's been about two or three days since it came out, and it broke records. I mean, it hit number one new release on some Amazon lists, and we're still in the top 100 books on Amazon. So, I mean, it's just been incredible. I'm blown away by how many people actually came out and bought the book. So if you guys haven't got a copy of How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies yet, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it anywhere else books are sold. If you don't like Amazon, you can get a signed copy at Premier Collectibles, whatever it is. And the book is your guide to changing minds. I mean, Elijah, you and I started very similarly, you know, and people probably don't know this, that you were probably one of the first people who I ever met when we got started.
I thought you were going to say you ever met. I was like,
yeah.
Holy,
no, when I was born, I came out of the womb, yeah. And Elijah was there.
We high five. Yeah. Vaginal slide right into the five.
Yeah, exactly. No, but you know, when I just moved to LA, I mean, I think like what, 3-4 months after I moved there, I met Elijah and he was doing Man on the Street videos. And I started doing Man on the Street videos. And we became friends after that with some other people too. And it was like, Elijah and I think started out in a good place that I don't know if all the people who do Man on the Street stuff started out in, is that Elijah, I was always looking to change people's minds when I was going on the street. You know, I feel like there was a lot of people who were going out there and they said, I just want to make the left look dumb. And it was like, that was never my concern. And I think that's why I've managed to stay somewhat relevant and continue to grow, because I want to change people's minds. I go out on the street and I ask people questions to actually find out what they know. And so this book, How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, essentially gives you guys the tools so that you can learn the questions and the facts to go out there and actually do the things that I do, or that PragerU does, or that Elijah does, and go out and use those same topics and ideas and actually change minds with them.
Yeah. I don't want, if you want to do what I do, that would be acting retarded. And I don't encourage that. That's not a very good thing. I do say though, honestly, this is kind of catching up. I have not seen you in a long time. We are actually friends off screen. We've known each other, like you said, back when I was living in when I was living in that apartment that was over $2,500 a month that was slanted. So like food would roll down the table and you were not living in Mark Levin's closet. I don't know whose closet you were living in.
But no, you remember that place.
You were living in what appeared to be, if someone took an average frat house room, sawed it into four sections, took one of the sections, put a wall up in that fourth of a section and tried to fit a bed in. I mean, and that was expensive too. How much were you paying for that place?
Yeah, I was paying like $1,250 a month for a place that was about the size of this table that we're sitting at right now. And there were cockroaches crawling on my face. I mean, there was no heater. I remember when we had some of we all came over and we're hanging out, having dinner and stuff. And it was a summer night in Los Angeles and there was no AC. And we were all just absolutely frying in that tiny place. But I moved out to Los Angeles.
Right, and we didn't get naked. Yeah. None of us took our clothes off. We were fully clothed, right?
Well, you know, that's for the Patreon picks.
That's Blaze TV. Yeah. Blaze TV exclusive.
Yeah, exactly.
PragerU stands for undress, actually. You finally figured that one out. It's not a university. No, but I'm saying, like, this is good. Now you're an author, you know, where you can't grow physically, at least you can grow in career. Uh-huh, so we always got to throw that in there. And I got to say, I'm happy to have you on. I am very happy to have you on, and I'm excited. And I want to talk to you about this. So you're talking about changing minds, and this has blown me away. I don't know if you saw this. Did you see the video that came out? Bill Gates specifically was being interviewed. And what's happening today, and you know this, is that conspiracy theorists are just becoming spoiler alert drama people. Like everything that people are warning you about that says is true is coming out, right? You had the Hunter Biden laptop that the CIA psyoped everyone, said it wasn't real, that the media ran with. Turns out it was real. And obviously, if you're BSing people and you know this, we've always known it was real. And time again, whether it's any part of COVID, whether it's a part of these programs that they're rolling out or health measures, their BS keeps showing. And what happened recently is that Bill Gates came out and kind of admitted, unfortunately, that Epstein probably didn't kill himself, which we knew, but Bill Gates, of all people, probably definitely knows.
Yeah, of course he knows. I mean, he's within all that stuff. And going back to what you said about conspiracy theorists, I think there is, I mean, there's some wacky conspiracy stuff that I'll hear sometimes in my comments and I'll be like, all right, that's a little too far-fetched. But I think that people just need to dig deeper into the truth of what's actually going on today. Because when you do, you will find that there's so much more that you just don't know about. I mean, just over the last about year and a half with this pandemic, and I've started reading a lot more and getting more into information and finding things out. I mean, my political views have almost completely done a 180. You know, obviously still very conservative socially and all of that, but there's so many things out there that people just have no idea about that's going on, especially when it comes to someone like Bill Gates and the things that he does. I mean, buying up the different farmlands and BlackRock buying single family homes in America and turning them into rental properties, like things like that, that are these huge corporations that are really dominating American life. And so, yeah, some of these things that people would look at as conspiracy theories are really just the truth when you dig a little bit deeper.
Do you think Bill Gates touched children's peepees?
I have no idea. I can't say
like,
for certain.
Do you think that he knew about like Epstein? Because people say like, because, you know, obviously he divorced, or Melinda Gates is leaving him, and apparently he's having extramarital affairs. But I don't think at that level of power and wealth that the extramarital affairs would be what would really break people up. That's probably pretty common. I know that he had a weird relationship with Epstein that made her uncomfortable. And I don't know about you, but my wife knows everything about me more than I wish. And it comes out to understand that not only if Bill Gates, which we're going to talk about in a second, knows the truth about what happened to Epstein and admits it on air accidentally, but maybe that's kind of a sign of saying, hey, if you ever try to tell the truth about me, you might get Epstein too. That's the vibe I was getting. I was like, and we're going to talk about that. And I don't know if you think that's a good conspiracy.
Well, I don't know if there are many things that you would consider good as conspiracies, because most of the time, if it's a conspiracy that people are talking about, it's probably not for the good of the country. But I think that in a lot of this stuff, I think we can understand, and as COVID has progressed and everything with people getting poorer and inflation increasing and all of this, and the rich just getting richer and the poor getting poorer, I think we can all say that the elites in this country, whoever they are, Bill Gates or whoever else, do not have our best interests at heart and are lying about practically everything. So there are really no shocks to me when it comes to how these elites act, and not just their personal lives, but in their business lives as well.
Yeah, we're going to get down to his exact wording. But before we go any further, it's interesting you brought up about Bill Gates buying up all the land. We're also going to talk about his new ventures to make meatless burgers that we might not have known. But honestly, as I've gone out and I've gone further into study, what I've realized is that our food is literally killing us. The stuff that we eat, even though 100%. Some of it's delicious, it's being created by people who only care about profits. They don't care about us, and they don't care about the animals either. They slaughter them inhumanely. They raise them inhumanely. They put terrible chemicals in them, which is why I got to talk to you guys about Moinkbox. This is an awesome subscription service for meat. Now, if you're like me, you're like, you could get little toothbrushes and, you know, I don't know, little foo-foo stuff and I don't know, whatever subscription boxes are trying to sell you today. How about getting some protein for your body from a small farm that doesn't use all these weird chemicals, like Family Farm? So not only do you get the mega protein to get the mad gains. Are you getting mad gains right now? You're trying to get mad gains?
I was, and then I got shoulder tendonitis. Oh, so I wasn't lifting like anymore, but I gained like 15 pounds of muscle.
Dude, that's super legit. I know. You actually look genuinely. I'm really happy to see you finally hit 115. Uh-huh, finally here. Yeah,
no, they poured water on me before to make sure I hit 115.
No, so but I was going to say, is it this service, Moinkbox, is amazing because I have a even one of their pork shoulders that is thawing right now in my fridge, and I'm going to barbecue that. It's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. But they give you whatever you want, salmon, pork, beef. You basically pick whatever you want. It's all delicious. You not only get support your health by having healthy meat, but it's from Family Farms, so you support small business too. And if you go to moinkbox.com/offensive right now, you can find out how to sign up and get a year free of bacon. And the bacon is bomb. It's thick cut smoked. I put it in salads. I put it on my toast. It's so great. I love it every single time that I use it. And I honestly use this product all the time. So go to moinkbox.com/offensive right now. That's moinkbox.com/offensive and find out how to get a year free of bacon and also get the best meat you're ever going to taste. Speaking of meat in the mouth, Will, we haven't been around each other in a while, but I do want to say with the Bill Gates stuff going on is I want to read this. This is from the Post Millennial. I don't know if we can bring this up, Kayla. The article of Bill Gates is that Bill Gates spoke to PBS NewsHour Judy Woodruff answering questions about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein had deep ties with luminaries around the world before he was brought up on federal sex trafficking and conspiracy charges before he died in prison. And we're saying he died because we don't know. And he was asked, specifically Bill Gates, and we can't necessarily play this because of copyright stuff, but he said he was asked, is there a lesson for you for anyone else looking at this? And his answer to her at first sounds kind of normal. And he says, well, he's dead. So, you know, in general, you always have to be careful. And I think this is kind of the point where we're at in society. I know, like, jokes aside, we're always like the short digs and the fun stuff. And we always have a lot of fun together. But honestly, as you progress in your career, as you develop, as you move, I think you realize that a lot of what the elites, the corporate media tries to make you think is not happening is 100% happening. And it doesn't matter if you're a billionaire. It doesn't matter if you're a part of the social club. If you step out of line or you put and make the people around you in a place of vulnerability, they will take you out. And we know that the official story is that Epstein killed himself, but the evidence shows that it was probably homicide. But of course, we can't make the conclusive claim. You know, everything, the cameras were out, the guards fell asleep, everything's so stupid. And Bill Gates has come to a position now where he's not even hiding it anymore. He's starting to tell people, we're getting into the age where look at Epstein. He's looking at the American public saying, if we could do it to Epstein, this is what I think he's saying. If we could do it to Epstein, think about what we could do to you. People cared about Epstein because he was rich. People cared about Gabby Petito because she was a social media star. People care about famous people. But you, well, nobody knows about you. So be careful and watch out and don't step out of line. And it doesn't scare me personally because I already know Bill Gates is like a population control BS globalist and I hate him. But on top of that, it reminds me that these elites are getting emboldened to display the fact that they know what they're doing is wrong and they're not even trying to hide it anymore. That's the crazy part. It's like, this is not a time in their lives where they feel they need to hide their evil trickery.
Yeah, it used to be very covert and now they're like putting it all out in the open. I just want to let everyone know that if I get New York Times bestseller next week and I end up dead, I did not kill myself, just so everybody knows the truth. But it's gotten to a point where I think this is like one of the big problems is that we still have people thinking that it's like Republican versus Democrat, left versus right, and this is what we need to be focused on all the time in this political world. But essentially, our politics has become totally corporatized, where the Republicans have talking points, the Democrats have talking points, and then they get people to be on their side and join them. And then once you're a part of that political party, there's not really a way out of it. I mean, you turn into a To a cipher, as Auberon Herbert would say, that you are totally controlled by this political party. And so it's really about truth versus lies and the elites versus the normal people in this country. And so I think that when we're reframing arguments and looking at the world, I think we need to look at that and say, hey, who are the people who are actually pulling the strings, or who are the people who are actually lying to us or doing all this stuff, and say, how can we actually stop these people, instead of just saying, hey, this person, you know, voted for a different person in an election that is probably stolen. How do we, you know, fight against that? It's like there are things going on that are much bigger than what people would actually like to focus on.
Well, yeah. And have you ever, okay, this is a good question. Have you ever had an Impossible Burger?
I had once. I went vegan for 7 days and I lasted 4 days.
A lot of people try being gay in college for one day. You picked seven. That was good. No, no hate on the vegans. Like, a lot of people I know are vegans.
I'm satanic. I'm much more of a fan of vegans now than I used to be. Because of what you were saying about the Oinkbox stuff,
but
I'm all about me. I will never be vegan, but there are definite, like...
I think it's satanic because I think we have canine... I mean, like, we have scissors, and I think we were made to eat meat. I just think not the way that we do now and the quantities we do now. Like, I think it was normal to kind of eat fish or to do things that were healthy. We're not talking about like dirty pork and all that kind of stuff, but I think especially certain types of cleaner poultry or fish are definitely good, including for brain health, etc. Like, and you see a lot of people, it's very hard to be a good vegan. Like, there are good vegans out there, and I'm not talking crap on those, that really make sure they get their nutrients across the board. But like, everybody knows that your average vegan just asks for French fries from Chick-fil-A because there's nothing else they can get on the menu. And that's just disgusting.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd say it's satanic. It can be very strange.
It's
it can be strange sometimes. People are obviously way too hard about veganism.
No, I'm messing around. I'm messing around.
No, I know you are. I know you are. I think that there are a lot of benefits. When you were talking about before about food, I mean, I think this is like the great battle. Because when you look at food and you look at like Roundup, you look at how Roundup has been put on all of our vegetables and all of the things we eat, the pesticide. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has caused detrimental effects to people having this Roundup on our food. I mean, everyone,
is it glyphosate or glyphosate?
I don't remember the exact chemical. Yeah, essentially. And it like destroys your body over time. You know, a lot of your cells in your body by eating Roundup that has been put on food. And it's like Bill Gates, again, bought, you know, Monsanto Farms and Bayer Pharmaceuticals work together now.
You know, so they say it's a conspiracy. Do you know, I was reading that it's been fact checked. If you look up if Roundup is like a carcinogen, causes cancer, they go, well, it's missing context because some studies say that it does cause cancer, but it's not really proven because we don't really fund those studies. And so it's not really true. And they're basically saying, yeah, we're killing you with what we put on your food every day, which is apparently, do you know that's why whole grains, you have to soak your whole grains? Because while it has more nutrient density, because it's not bleached and it's not, processed, you have more of the carcinogen on the outside. So it's actually more unhealthy for you long term.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So like whole grains have more nutrient density, but are more prone have more carcinogen properties.
Well, really, you shouldn't eat bread at all in America. If you live in America, bread is very bad for you. So are seed oils. Seed oils and bread are like basically the number one things. And sugar are the things that are going to make you fat.
I like a good piece of bread.
No, of course,
but
I still eat bread.
No,
I'm
but
just saying,
this is important because one time I was in Australia. This is an article. If we could bring this up, Kayla, about the Impossible Burger. I didn't know this, that the Impossible Meatless Burger that Bill Gates made, he made it. And this is how the Impossible Burger's simple vision won hundreds of millions in funding and backing from Bill Gates. It talked about when Pat Brown was working in his research lab in 2009. This already is scary to me when we're talking about food and research labs and we're not just talking about things that naturally grow. But he had zero intention of starting a business, much less one that would win United Nations backing and investment from the likes of Microsoft founder Bill Gates. And this Impossible Burger, I knew something was weird about it at first. I don't think it's weird if you just want to be vegan for health reasons or you decide that you want to, you know, take on this natural diet because you have personal beliefs about the way food works.
Or you want to help animals, whatever it is.
Yeah, something like that, right? I mean, it is cruel a way animals are often treated, and it's a lot of people talk about like, oh, F it, their food, but there are humane ways that you can still take care of and kill animals.
Farm or pasture raised, yeah, and, you know, cage free.
But here, I remember I was at this burger place in Australia a few years ago. I should have seen the totalitarianism coming because it's one of my favorite burger places. And so I go to the mall, I'm in Queensland, and I go into the burger spot, and I'm like, and the woman comes up, she's like, you know, hey, she's like, whatever. Do you know it's Meatless Wednesdays? And I said, oh, like, cool. Like, I don't want to hear about your stupid offer. Like, don't talk to me here. And then she goes, no, we are only offering Impossible Burgers on Wednesdays. Like, this is like their big chain. We're only doing Meatless Burgers on Wednesdays. She was so happy. And this is how I knew Australians were cucked, because I go,
yeah, Matt.
And I go, that's a stupid idea. I told her, like, to her face. She hadn't, like, gotten the American side. I go, that's dumb. I was like, it's disgusting. And she was like, she got so, like, shocked. She's like, no, it's, like, really good for you. I was like, that's gross. I don't want to eat here. Like, don't give me that. And I walked away. And she was personally offended. And I go, the fact that she submitted to a, if the Australians were okay with one of their largest chains not providing real burgers on Wednesdays, shows me that the police state was what was naturally coming next.
Yeah, it's strange. I can't say I've done enough research on the Impossible Burgers to know the health benefits and everything like that. But I will say that about 2 years ago, I went to Sandtown in, I think it's Sandtown in Baltimore, which is one of the worst places in Baltimore. Okay. I mean, and one of the worst places in America, really. I mean, it's absolutely horrible how people are living there. It's incredibly sad. And so I went there to go shoot a documentary about the what's happening there and how it happened, because the left let it happen. And they don't have grocery stores in Sandtown, right? Essentially, people will just go to a convenience store and get their food, and people aren't eating vegetables, and obviously they're not eating organic foods or anything like that. They're eating terrible foods. And I was like, well, there's no grocery stores, but there's a Burger King on the corner. And if you go to this Burger King, the new thing on advertised on the sign was Impossible Whoppers in, like, one of the worst areas in Baltimore. And that was just, I don't know, that was weird to me that it was so pushed on people. These people couldn't even get an onion or fresh apples at a grocery store, but they could get a lab-made burger.
That was the Impossible Burger.
That was the Impossible.
No, see, I knew something was fishy about it because of the way that they were pushing on people. I've had one. I don't know if you've had one. I've had one a few times.
And it didn't taste like death or anything. It wasn't like the worst thing in the entire world, but it obviously didn't taste like a burger.
I'll tell you, I went to, when I lived in LA, there was a lot of vegan places that only were vegan. And I went there for the beer, because vegan places actually have great beer usually. And I don't know why, but they actually have amazing beer. And I tried an Impossible Burger, and it was impossible for me to really like it. That's all I knew. And they go, this is beyond a burger, actually, not impossible. And I'm like, oh, this is beyond the realm of accepting that this is real meat. And I only bring this up because with Bill Gates and what he's doing around the world and what he's doing around the country, it's like when you start to think of something in society and you go, this is so weird that this meatless meat is coming out. This seems not natural. This seems weird. This seems strange. You don't often think deeply about, well, who's behind this? Who's pushing this? Why is this becoming a part of society? And now when you really see, going back, and people say, why are you talking about this? Because you look at who's paying for this, and you realize that from the food that we eat, to the media that we watch, to the drugs we put in our body, to the injections they force upon people so you don't lose your job, the entire world is being engineered into a way that is unnatural, that is making you dependent on their bioproducts to live a lifestyle that they've deemed for you that goes against the natural order. And you know what? Yes, being a vegan, that's fine. I don't mind when people are vegans, but all this weird processed vegan food that's out there too, I don't think it can be that good for you.
Exactly. And it's more than just the bioproducts like that, like medicine and things like that. I mean, it's also about the psychological products that you are getting, because people during the pandemic, they can sit on their couch, they can get their processed food delivered to them, then they can go on Tinder and they can watch porn and they never have to go and talk to anybody. And what I found as like the most important thing, and John and I were laughing about this before, about Nietzsche being the first part of my book. I'm a huge fan of Friedrich Nietzsche, the philosopher, and he talks a lot about safety and comfortability versus living a risky and passionate life. And what we've seen now is that people are far too eager to give up safety or to give up freedom in order to have some sort of safety or comfortability. And so people would rather sit at home and find dates on a dating app on their computer than go to a bar or go to a church service and find someone who they can really connect with. And people are unconfident, they're insecure, they're anxious, and then they have drugs and they're eating bad food. I mean, in reality, it seems like the social control has really run its course. And, you know, it's interesting, B.F. Skinner in the 1900s, who was a psychiatrist, he was doing experiments on rats about reinforcement strategies, on whether negative reinforcement or positive reinforcement would be the best for controlling species. And he found that positive reinforcement was by far the best means of actually making it so that these rats would do whatever he wanted them to do. And that's what we're seeing with people, is that you get all this positive reinforcement. The food, fast food tastes really good. right? I mean, it tastes McDonald's when you have it every day. It tastes really good. The porn, watching porn feels really good. All these things, having a Xanax every day feels really good. But these things, just because they feel really good, does not mean that it's good for you. And it's positive reinforcement to make you docile and obedient to authority, it seems.
Do you think it's part of also the feminization and the weakening of men pushing these soy-infused products? Because I know that, like, you know, it didn't go over very well. You know, part of, like, Afghanistan, we spent tens of millions of dollars in trying to convert the diet of the men into being soy-based. Do you know about that?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, why the hell would we do that? That doesn't even make any sense. And yeah, the Afghani people are pretty unruly and pretty crazy in their own part. But I mean, it's not much different than some parts of the United States that you go to as well. I mean, honestly, you even go to, like, Southeast Dallas here, you can get your car jacked in a second. I mean, it's
Dallas is just as bad as LA, it seems.
I mean, yeah, I work in Dallas, but like I don't live in Dallas.
Yeah.
So I can't say where I live, but I wouldn't live in Dallas ever.
Yeah.
It's actually in my complex, in where my cars are, they broke in and broke into all the cars and just like stole a car and stuff in like a nice neighborhood. And it's just disgusting here. And the amount of like car theft and damage that's been done, they damaged my car. And my car's great. And it pissed me off a lot. And I think that obviously crime statistics just came out. FBI said that I think we were up, what, 20 or 30, maybe even more percent in violent crime. But they statistically wouldn't release the demographics with that report. I wonder why. I wonder if it's all middle-aged white women in suburbia breaking in cars.
I will give it to Dallas. I mean, it is cleaner for sure than Los Angeles. You've been to LA. I mean, you live there.
And
you
know.
They
keep the homeless in one area.
Yeah.
They don't let them go
everywhere.
Like
over near Turtle Creek and stuff like that. Or what is that called? Turtle Creek? Is that right?
I don't go there. I don't
Turtle
know.
Turtle Village? I don't know. I had an ex-girlfriend who used to live over there. And so anyway, it was clean and nice over there, but I know that a lot of the places have gotten a lot worse. And I think it's like a cultural problem with Dallas too. I mean, look at the last election. Look at how close Texas was. I mean, unbelievable. By 2024, 2028, Texas is going to be lost.
I don't know. I think if we go on the offense and we start making laws like the abortion laws, I mean, as Michael Malice said, he, you know, encouraged our governor to stand up for what's right. And he said that, you know, but that's the most important part. And I think that, you know, we have a very bought, shilled, paid for GOP governor who occasionally does something good to make sure he doesn't lose his election, but he's not on the offense. You know, the governor of Florida is going on the offense. He's actually fighting back, mm-hmm. and they're fighting against him at all costs. But our governor, I mean, look at the invasion that's going on right now at the southern border. And it took how many? I think it was like 10,000 Haitian illegals trying to invade our country. And if you even look too down there, how they trash the area, like they come from one shithole country and then they try to make this place a shithole. And that's why everyone's like, so you don't want Haitian migrants here? And I go, objectively, no. I'm like, isn't that racism? You can call it whatever you want. Don't really care because you can call me names. It doesn't matter. It's an objective idea that these people are trashing the Rio Grande River already. And they're setting up shanty towns and taking over parks and sleeping on roofs. These are not people who share my values and customs. And America's not a bank for you just to dip in on. It's not an idea. We are a people and we have to be strict with the standards of the people that come in. And the toxic culture of bringing people like that into our country has exactly what's tarnished our reputation. We've lost our identity and our value. And so it's like, you know what? You can talk about anything. I didn't say because they were black, you could make it about their black skin. But I've said it's because look at, they come from a crappy culture. And even, you know, Trump said it was a shithole. And it is. Haiti's bad because of the Clintons and everything they've done over there. And I mean, the way that partly it's Americans' fault. But when you look what's going on and you see what's down there, I mean, it took like a serious, not only humanitarian disaster, but ecological disaster, and also just in general, like a human rights problem for our governor to just be like, oh, by the way, we're going to send some cops down there on horses, and then couldn't even stand up and cover for the PR for the horseback riders. And now everyone thinks that there's a bunch of like racist slave traders, according to Maxine Waters, whipping black people at the border. Like, I mean, that was next level.
I mean, that's
BS.
Wild. Yeah. And that's pretty insane that she would say that.
Well, because that's what they try to make slavery. It seem. It's like we don't want Haitian people that just come over without any vetting. That's what we're saying. Well, but no one's saying to whip black people at the border.
Of course not. No one is saying that. In 1975, the senator in Delaware, Mr. Joe Biden, when we were bringing in refugees from Saigon, mm-hmm. said, why are we bringing in so many refugees? We don't know these people. And now look at it. Now look at America. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, let's bring in more. Let's keep going. Civil rights, illegal immigration is a civil rights issue of our time. Even back in the early 2000s, people like Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Obama, they were saying things like, yeah, we are for a border wall. We are for keeping our country a sovereign place, and we need to limit illegal immigration because it brings down wages of union workers. It brings down the wages of all people, minorities especially. I think like what's it called? Someone like Cesar Chavez, you know Cesar Chavez's story. He was the Si Se Puede guy. Every single street in Los Angeles is basically named after Cesar Chavez. And mm-hmm. all
take
the
a ride on
schools.
Cesar Chavez, go down till you hit Cesar Chavez yeah. Way, and exactly. then go down Cesar Chavez Lane.
Yeah, and it was like this guy was totally against illegal immigrants coming into the country, and he would go and beat up illegal immigrants at the border and send them back to Mexico. And it's like, I'm not saying that's a good thing, but we're saying like this is what people did back in the day. This is what the left used to believe. And now illegal immigration is like, oh, we need all of them in here, according to the left. And it's a wild turn of events that they've changed it into. And it seems like the reason that they want it is because these are going to be future voters for the Democrats, who are going to, you know, continue to keep these elitists and oligarchs in power.
Yeah, we're going to have to, just for a second, I think the custodian's here actually for a second, so he's just don't mind him. He's going to be cleaning up for a second. He's got to just put some stuff away.
Get the garbage out of the way.
Just got to go ahead and kid.
No, thank you. Listen, I was waiting for the cleaning lady to show up.
Could you put it on the shelf? Actually, it goes right up there. With the other things we don't care about, like the Constitution. Perfect.
Yeah, throw
thanks
that
so
away
much.
Too.
Really appreciate it. That was really...
Thanks.
Thank you. That was Juanito. He actually is actually our custodian because as
Juanita,
remember, Juanita, he's an illegal alien.
I could see it. No, I could see it. I could tell.
He's an illegal alien. He speaks alienese. No, but okay. But the point you're saying about the problems here, Kayla, you know, we have problems. We have weirdos here. If we can bring up the New York Post article about the horse, I don't know if you heard about this, but a Colorado man that. This is such a weird story about the horse, and I don't understand this one at all. But if you can look on the screen, a Colorado man is accused of sex with a horse. He actually fled jail, is promptly returned. If you look at his face there, he does look like somebody. If I had to choose somebody who's going to have sex with a horse, and it was like you, John, Kayla, and that guy, after I chose you as my first choice and people told me that's not the guy who did the horse, which mm-hmm. obviously everyone knows you have a face that looks like maybe you're into that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I would go, that would be the guy. Like you have to probably be on meth. Listen to how crazy this is. It says here that a man who was accused of having sex with a horse. Can I ask you a question? So is bestiality still illegal in all states? Is that illegal to have sex with animals in all states? I'm not asking for a friend.
Yeah, I can't tell you the answer to that. I don't know. I don't check on those laws.
John, could you look that up and see if, can you just like Google that? Type in man, go to videoleaks.com and type in man having sex with horse explicit. No, but actually ask on your Google or whatever, DuckDuckGo, can you just find out if that is? Because he's also, John Doyle's here too as well. He's our producer for the day.
Thanks, John.
No, but he's accused of having sex with a horse, and he escaped jail Tuesday, but made it less than a mile before he got caught and landed back behind bars. Jonah Barrett Lesko. Oh, imagine this. Forever your name is on Google when you look it up. Like for me, it just says I'm a terrorist, which is fine. But imagine if like you're trying to get a job and you're like, so I looked at your job, your resume for, you know, working at Applebee's, and there's one thing that came up on Google. It says you've had intercourse with a stallion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they don't let them serve horse meat at Applebee's. So.
Yeah. But it says he was first discovered missing when police received a phone call about a man in a jumpsuit running near Office Depot, police told the paper. About 20 minutes later, Durango Police Chief Bob Bramer just happened to be driving by the area when he spotted Barrett Lesko, now in just his boxers, having removed his uniform, running along the river, which is just under a mile from the jail. That's what really attracted my attention to him, because you don't see the half-naked people running through the woods in their boxer briefs. So let me just put this straight, because as we're talking about the problems all around the country, people are talking about, you know, we need to eat more Impossible Burgers and we need to help all the Haitians. Dog, we have citizens here that I also, this is kind of based if you think about it, not the horse sex guy, but this guy is so crazy. He's defeated the whole system. He's in a relationship with a horse. He escaped jail. He's running around naked, walking through a river. And somehow this guy is living off the complete grid. I mean, this guy is, if you want to talk about somebody who's living next level and living life to whatever he thinks he's living life to, this guy's, I think he's also probably mentally ill and probably a drug addict too, just by the looks of him.
I would assume so. To be doing those types of things, I can only imagine.
You know, the LGBT community always says, like, how do you know you don't like it if you don't try it? So maybe he's making the same argument.
That could definitely be true. Look, I don't know too much about
horses,
farm animals and their sexual encounters with humans.
You might, you ever go to the Middle East? I won't go there. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do the goat thing. Yeah, but yes, sir?
I've got your data.
Yeah, what's the data?
So it's currently legal in 4 states, Hawaii, New Mexico, West Virginia, and Wyoming.
So Hawaii, New Mexico, West Virginia, and Wyoming.
There are no laws on the books saying that you can't have your way with it.
Oh yeah, and there's brothels in it might be the Netherlands. I might be wrong, but there are animal brothels where you can pay to like have sex with pigs and stuff like that. Like that's a real thing. I remember that came out because it's
Europe
not illegal.
Is a strange place.
Yeah, I agree, but I also know too that you know for a while even in Australia you couldn't go to church, but you could go to the brothel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which was interesting.
That was the same here in the U.S. I mean, it was a strip club, not a brothel, but you know. Same thing. You couldn't go to church, but you go to strip club and you could go buy weed and alcohol and all that.
Dude, I had a friend who went to a strip club during COVID and he told me the funniest thing. He was like, yeah, it was really weird because the girls were naked, but they had face masks on. And that's when I knew this pandemic was very stupid. Yeah. I knew this was like the dumbest thing. He was like, no, for real, man. They had face masks on. And yes, you can do the moral argument. This is not even like a Christian person or whatever. They're just this like a young dude going to a strip club. But he told me that in LA, they had face masks on, but no clothes. And I realized how stupid our country had become when that was where we were at as a society. And because apparently COVID does get into orifices, but only the mouth.
Well, you can just, you know, instead of throwing dollar bills, you're throwing masks. So you're throwing masks at the strippers.
So just a quick question. The horse sex guy, that there was no point to bring that up except for just to make people have a weird story. I was trying to connect that to anything, but it literally connects to nothing except for the fact that final thoughts on that before we move on. Should this guy go to jail for having sex with a horse? When people can dress up kids in drag and sexualize children. Like, imagine that. They care more about the sexuality of a horse than a child.
No, that's wild. I am pro-mandate. I am anti-vaccine mandate. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that on the show. But I am
pro- You can say your anti-vaccine mandate.
Okay, good.
You just can't say anything truthful about anything else.
All right, I won't say anything else. But I am pro-mandate on other things. This is why I'm not a libertarian. Because I think that things like CRT should be mandated against. I think that giving children hormones when they're little should be mandated against. And so the horseman, I would say that should be mandated against. And so I would agree.
I think so too. I think you have other problems. Like if you've gotten to the point in your life where you're having intercourse with a horse, the intercourse with the horse is probably not only not the worst thing you've done, but you probably have a whole slew of other problems that need to be tended to. Mm-hmm. Because I think if you're going to get to that point in your life, you either are really strapped for cash or really need some crack rocks. Like maybe the guy just needed a hit or a high and that was a bet or a dare, or perhaps you're just mentally ill. But that's why, speaking of mental illness, I do want to talk a little bit more about this. But before we go any further, guys, like I always say here, as we talk about on the show, that the world is crazy. You never know what someone's going to do to your horse. You never know what they're going to do to your family. You never know what's going to happen. And you got to be prepared for anything that could come your way. And that's why you got to take control of your body. You got to take control of your mind, as our values are under attack. And people don't want you to control your body. They're trying to put mandates. They're trying to force things upon you. And that's why I got to talk to you about the SafetyNet.club. Now, the SafetyNet community is an amazing community of individuals who have come together, and this creates an ability for you to have access to plans to protect you when bad things happen to your health or to your family's health. Now, 50% of people that have insurance have high deductibles. So for instance, if you get in an accident, which is what I love the most, you know, and you go to the emergency room, you know this, you get picked on at you know, man on the street stuff. People can just sling a bike lock at you, or has someone ever hit you or touched you weird?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
So, you know, accidents happen. And then you go to the emergency room. And I would say America's the only place where you have to ask someone as they're dying, do you want an ambulance? Because you don't know if they want to cover the cost. So there's a lot of costs involved in accidents. So for about $15 a month, a lot of people can't afford big plans for health insurance. You can get accident coverage. So if you end up in some of these bad situations, they'll cover all your deductible on your insurance. Or if you don't have insurance, they'll also just pay your costs for an accident. And there's lots of other products like that. As well as, guys, if you join today at safetynet.club, that's SafetyNet.club, you get $10,000 AD&D insurance, which is like a life insurance policy that if you die, your beneficiaries get $10,000 automatically just by joining to help cover funeral costs and bills. Or if you, if you run into a guy that just had intercourse with a horse, like this guy that's running through a river and he chops off your arm or something like that, and that really could happen. I had a friend who lost an arm in a work accident. They got crushed in a machine. You could also get $10,000 as well while you're waiting for disability to come in. So anyway, join the SafetyNet community, take control of your health, go to safetynet.club like I did, and join and get $10,000 AD&D insurance, no cost to you when you join. So I want to continue on this discussion, and I want to get into some more interesting things of what's going on. So As we're talking about the backwardness of it all, I know you're familiar, you've been very familiar with covering protests and stuff, but there's been this large call to defund the police. And we've seen a large spike. The FBI, like I mentioned earlier, just released the crime stats. It's through the roof. I love how they tried to make the shit show that's happening right now seem not bad by saying murders are on the rise again for a second year in a row, but not as high of a rate as they were last year. So it's like murders are rising again, but not as fast of a rise. Like, that's not good news. That's just not as bad news, I guess. And they're trying to pad it as in the world and the country is extremely unsafe. And at this time, I know last year we were all like, oh, pro police, like, yeah, the police. But obviously through a lot of departments in big cities not stopping the rioters and siding with the political party, and a lot of police, you know, to this day, enforcing COVID mandates, not just in the United States, but like in New Zealand, in Australia, in the United Kingdom. I mean, we've seen a very interesting side of the police that has definitely changed my mind on knowing if I really do like the police and if they're a force for good, or if overall maybe the black communities have been right and the police are a force for evil. I don't know.
Well, I think you can look at other countries, especially Australia right now, and some of the horrible videos coming out of there. I mean, those police officers are way out of bounds with the things they're doing, tackling people to the ground, kicking them in the face. I mean, just absolutely hurting people because they're coming out and trying to express themselves in a form of protest and say, we don't want to be locked down anymore. So, and looking in Europe as well, Italy and Germany, some of the cops out there. I would say for America that I think that there is still... It's hard when you have unconstitutional mandates and unconstitutional laws, and the police officers are there and they're supposed to enforce these things. And I know lots of police officers who are supposed to enforce it and then say, you know, I'm not really going to do that much. I'm just going to kind of be very lenient about it, even if they put it in there. And there are a lot of sheriffs out there, like in Riverside County in Los Angeles, who said, I'm not going to enforce these things. Tons of other sheriffs and police officers around the country who are doing that. And so, yeah, I still myself am a very pro-police type of person. I just am anti on the mandates, and it sucks because it's like, imagine you have a job, you know, think about all the people who have jobs and had to go and around the country and had to go and do something that they don't want to do sometimes, right? That's like every single day you have a job and you have to do something that you don't want to do.
Things they don't want to do are violating human rights.
Listen, there's lots of that going on in the world right now. And that
I guess,
sucks.
I mean, you're talking about even if you're like packing bad meat or something like that, you know, there's like particles in it and you're still packing it and you're selling it to people.
Right. I'm not saying that it's good. I'm saying that I understand where some police officers are coming from when they say, listen, I don't really want to support you having to wear your mask in the grocery store, but I'm going to enforce it because that's my job. And that sucks. I would say as a police officer, if you were one, you shouldn't do that. You should be brave and you should stand up. But I don't think it's like a police-wide problem where we say, oh, it's all the police's fault. I think that we need to look at the people who are in charge setting these things and then give police officers a better outlet to not have to enforce these types of unconstitutional or horrible mandates. I mean, I'm working with groups back in Los Angeles of people who are with first responders like firefighters and paramedics and police officers who are coming together as coalitions and saying, we are going to go on strike in Los Angeles if they continue to make these mandates even more prevalent. And so I am actually, you know, there are a ton of good police officers out there who are doing the Lord's work. I'm telling you, I've met a lot of them. I did a ride along in South Central Los Angeles. And if those police officers weren't there in South Central, that community would be even worse. They are there protecting them, helping the children get educations. I mean, they're there doing God's work legitimately. And so I know that there are police who are doing some things and enforcing things that we don't like. And that is wrong.
Yeah, well, you know what's interesting? You talk about police in areas that may actually need a lot of policing, but from post-millennial, if we can bring up this story about, it came up with the demographics actually for who supports replacing police in Minneapolis, and it talks about how more white voters support replacing police in Minneapolis than black voters, and this is a poll that found that more white voters support replacing the Minneapolis Police Department with a new Department of Public Safety, which may include police officers and will focus on public health, while just 42% of black voters support the measure. And that's what's interesting here is like, I think that it's the point that black people are being pretty based here. It's like, no, we want reform in the policing because the way the current policing structure is totally screwed up, and the way people are forced to not, you know, to do things they don't want to do or to handle people with often extreme force. And it is true. As we're seeing in Australia, it's horrifying. And I think what's shocking people is because let's just face it, and you can call me racist for saying this, but you know, people think, oh, well, you know, that's normal for there to be force against black people because you see the videos and the black community cries guys out and they go, oh, there's unequal force. But then, you know, there's always a knife in the guy's hand or a bat, or he's always coming at the officers in some way or resisting arrest. And there's a lot of like this, okay, well, they deserved it mentality because, well, they shouldn't have resisted arrest. But of course, you do start to think deeper into the issue, because I don't want to just take like the dumb standpoint of, you know, a lot of these people just get pulled over for something stupid like a missing registration. And that's first of all, not only is car registration a stupid thing to have to pay this kind of money to let the government know you have your car. We pay enough taxes. Right. This is stupid. But for a cop to have to, you know, to pull you over and to make this, like the fact that that's even a police's job for traffic violations, like it's not just like a traffic person, like, or like they don't just, you know, send you a ticket or just know that it's expired. Like if they know it's expired and you haven't renewed in 2 weeks, they could just mail you a ticket and be like, hey, we're going to keep ticketing you until you get this. We don't need to pull you over and have a police altercation. But I think what's interesting here is that the black voters know it's just super lame that the white voters are not trying to reform the police. They're trying to replace it with something that's going to make it worse, which is putting like social workers or dumb things. And that's what all these like liberal white people are actually acting really cucked out and stupid, because they keep trying to fix the world's problems and the solutions they're offering are worse than the problems that are already there. And they're adding fuel to the fire. And that's why violence and stuff is going up. The issue wasn't to reduce police presence. The issue was to rethink what is policing, where do we put police officers, how do we rebuild communities, and their solution was just basically making things gay.
Yeah, well, they are only going to get the bottom of the barrel of police officers now. I mean, if you are saying that police officers are the worst types of people and you want to replace them with social workers and you're saying, oh, they're so bad and all they want to do is kill black people, then you are going to get only people applying to be police officers who are going to be the worst types of people. Because the good cops aren't going to want to stick around if they get treated like crap every single day and people tell them how horrible they are. So, of course, you're only going to have the worst people. In my book, How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, which you guys can get on Amazon right now, it just came out a couple days ago, I have a whole chapter on police and police brutality and how you guys can actually talk to people, ask the right questions, get the facts out there on policing. And that's, you know, really whether what you believe, whether you're more kind of with Elijah on this or me on this, whatever. I mean, we're pretty similar on this. But regardless,
burn it all down is where I'm at.
The whole country, right? Yeah, revolution. But you know, I talk about these things on how you can actually change mine. We're very close to New York Times bestseller list, guys. It seems so. We need to keep selling some.
Let's
more
get
books.
Him there, if you guys. Yeah, let's get Will guys, there.
How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies.
You can pick it up on Amazon as well. Yep, you'll find Amazon. The link in the description. Not during the live stream because we don't have a description up. But when this is posted, if you're watching this later, you can find the links in the description. Yep. And find all of his links as well to all of his social media that's going out there.
Mm-hmm.
You
thanks.
Know, I was going to ask you a question, so let's talk about this
yes,
too.
Please.
So the world has gone mad, and they start talking about stupidity. There is a new. Article that came out from NBCLX, which I don't know what that stands for. Maybe that's
Latinx?
Yeah, probably Latinx, right? That's probably what it is, Latinx, which apparently only 4% of Hispanics like the phrase Latinx, but white people have decided that's good for them. Mm-hmm. And so that's ridiculous. I got to tell you, like, you know, we got to stop being such effing losers. We're live. I can't bleep myself here, so I gotta be careful. But this is the kind of stuff that they're talking about. Like, while we're having real problems, we're talking about vaccine mandates, we're talking about, you know, masks, all these things that are going on in the country and having arguments, and we're getting blocked and deleted and throttled for asking simple questions. The world has started this out. They make up problems. They said this from NBCLX that they're covering, this is trending on Twitter, by the way, this is like on social media, like this is highlighted, that a group is showing that skateboarding is no longer just for a cis white boy sport. A Chicago-based Fro Skate is a skating group welcoming BIPOC, queer, trans, and non-binary skateboarding into the scene, teaching them and creating a safe space. All I'm going to say is this is a humiliation ritual, just like saying that the NFL is gay. They're not going to stop until they take anything that has traditional, like, masculine vibes. Even, by the way, the chicks have always skateboarded, and they were always kind of like tomboyish. It's always been a sort of a masculine sport to go out to whatever. I mean, even when it first started, and it was more just like in pools and whatnot, and, you know, it's gotten a little more complex, and the tricks have gotten a little more advanced on the street stuff and the competitions, etc. But even as it's gone through this, this has been a pinnacle and a defining factor of, even in movies, a stereotype of what makes, you know, a cool guy, you know, for lack of better words. And they have to come in, just queerify it and be like, actually, this is for homosexuals and trans people, as if anyone ever said, like, imagine you're like owning a skate shop and then like a small gay comes in and he's like, hey, I'm feeling queer today, like, can I buy a skateboard? And you're like, no, gay.
skateboarding's for the straights. Like, nobody's ever denied or no one's ever been like, we're at X Games and this is the first queer skateboarder. Like, no one gives a shit about that. It's like, are you good at skateboarding or not? And this is like one of the few objective sports and things that you could not ruin and make about all this weird social cultural Marxism. And they've come in and tried to make skateboarding political. I mean, what the hell?
Well, what is leftism nowadays? As God and Christianity has declined in the West, people have needed a new type of religion, and that's what leftism is. Leftism is their religion, and so it is this moral framework of them. And so people like this article that we were just talking about, instead of saying something and putting information out there that is going to help people or help the populace, this is something to make her feel good. This is something that made the author of whoever did it, I don't know if it was a man, woman, they, whoever, wrote this article. It made them feel good, regardless of the side effects of what it actually did for the community of, you know, any of the LGBT community. They don't care about that because it makes them feel good about saying, I put out this virtuous message about skateboarding and trans people, and now everyone can pat me on the back because I passed the woke test and I am part of this religion of the left, and that's all it really takes.
Yeah, and I think what's weird about this too is they go, like, skateboarding is now a trans right, and that's the weird part, is that these people will not stop at anything. And
they'll put it on everything. They'll say every single thing. And that's like, no one said it wasn't. Do you understand that? It's like, no one said that skateboarding wasn't for trans people. Like, people aren't saying
there was never a movement against them. They make it up. That's why they're victims. Now trans people can skate. And you go, I've never heard anyone in public ever make an argument that just because you cut off your pee-pee and you think you're a girl doesn't mean that you can skateboard. Because so if you think about it, skateboarding is all about who can do the best trick. Being trans is the best trick already. I mean, it's a huge major psyop. I mean, it's literally wee-wee be gone, call me Mimi now.
Like popping an ollie.
Yeah, I just had Blair White on You Are Here, and like there was people in the comments like, I didn't know Blair White was a guy, and people were saying that, and they didn't know because Blair like is somebody who passes as a woman. Like, you wouldn't know from a glance that, oh, right, that's not actually a woman. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know that. And so it's like interesting though that no one's, I would ask Blair next time I see Blair, is that, has anyone ever told you can't skateboard? Because this is about the trans rights thing that I think is so stupid. Like, who's telling trans people that they can't do stuff? Like, I've never seen that. In fact, I think trans people get privilege. I think they're treated better than anyone.
Hey, and brother, you can't think they get come treated in the best. Here. This is our skate park, brother. We're Republicans. You can't come here and skate. That's like what people think that it is.
Those are fake titties.
Yeah.
Those are crashed. Hey, that's not fair. Those are chest crash pads.
Hey, you're not a real man. That's like what people think that it is. That there's like these racist Republicans sitting around skate parks or sitting around, you know, sports games, telling people of minorities or women or LGBT that they can't be a part of it. It's like, this is not happening. That's how bad the brainwashing has got. But when you go through university and elementary, high school and the mainstream media and Hollywood and corporate special interests, when everything tells you that these leftist principles are the key to the world, then of course you're going to believe it. That's why, like, when I go out and talk to people and do my videos, and I'm sure you experience this when people comment and they say, look at how stupid these people are in your video. How do you not just laugh? I'm like, I don't think a lot of these people are that stupid. Of course, there's some degree of that for sure. But I think that most of the people are just as smart as you and I, or smarter even sometimes. They've just been so brainwashed because every single institution in the entire country is against them and is pushing leftist thought on them. I was on the left and I changed. Amla, who is the new host of the show that I do with her on PragerU, she was a leftist organizer. And now she's like one of the most base conservatives out there. And so it's like, your mind can be changed. It's just the entire system is against you.
Yeah. And I think it's actually, I know. Imagine that though. I got to go back to that too, because I had to read that. That makes me laugh a lot. I love how it says it's called fro skate. Like, first of all, nobody, like, black people make too many things about being black. And I got to say this, like, if you want people to stop caring about your skin color, stop making all these black exclusive groups or whatnot. Or if you're telling us a message that making racial ethnocentric groups is the key to making a strong and empowered social group, then please tell me more. I'd like to know about that. Maybe you're right. And maybe I don't know about that, but I will tell you that I love how they're saying they're welcoming BIPOC, which stands for, I think, biracial people of color, or black and indigenous, or no, black and indigenous people of color, mm-hmm. queer, trans, and non-binary skateboarders. I think it's like, you realize how narcissistic these people are. Kayla, we have this video here of this teacher, who actually is complaining about you know, being this idea of like what it means to be a teacher that's non-binary. And there's this obsession these people have with their lame identities. And you know I'm actually non-binary. You know that. We've talked about this on the show a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm legally a non-binary person. I paid for it. It was literally tenure. I paid $35 and I became non-binary legally. I did.
That seems like a steep price.
Yeah. I joined the community so I could skateboard. Why else?
I know, you've been looking to pull that Tony Hawk stunt years now, and now you can finally do it.
Hey, so I could actually recreate the meme. Hey, kids, let me show you some based memes. What's that guy's name, John?
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi. Yeah. So yeah. I can actually buy my first skateboard and recreate the meme. Ladies and gentlemen, Elijah Schaefer is going to pop shove it with the boys, with the trans, because now I'm non-binary. But no, but of this stupid. Like, non-binary is just one of these identities that people have really started overemphasizing. And listen to like this narcissism of this teacher. Like, if you want to identify as something, go do be you. But look at how like she takes it upon herself to say she has to educate the masses. Can we play that, Kayla?
If you can be reasonably assured that you are safe being out on your campus, then do it. Before coming out as non-binary, I would come out to my students every October on National Coming Out Day. I would use that as an opportunity for my students to learn how to receive somebody coming out to them in case that had never happened to them before. We used it as a way to talk to each other about empathy, about connection, about trust. It ended up being a wonderful experience that I had with my students every single year. So think about what you would have needed when you were in high school or middle school or whatever grade you're teaching. For some students, just the knowledge that a queer adult exists within their world is hugely impactful. You don't really have to do anything other than be visible for these students to feel safer and more accepted and more at home when they're on campus. It does so much for students who don't have that in other places in their lives. For that reason, my classroom is one of the gayest places probably on the planet. Everything is completely covered in rainbows. I've got flags everywhere. I've got queer literature because I want every student that I have to know that being queer is something that I am proud of, something that is not a secret in my life. It's something that I care about and something that connects me to other people. I'll end by saying that for me, being visibly queer is a non-negotiable. I introduced myself this year with my pronouns immediately. It was one of the first things that students learned about me. And I'm going to continue to gently correct 250 people every single day because my identity is a critical part of who I am. So if education is something that you want to pursue, I recommend being steadfast and being committed to being out as an educator if it's something that you feel safe doing. It has a huge impact for students, and it's something that I've never regretted.
So she said her classroom is one of the gayest places on the planet.
Yeah, super cringe.
I thought that was your apartment.
That's only when John, you, and me are together.
What a wild thing to say that your classroom is one of the gayest places on the planet, a place where there's children. I mean, like,
yeah, and it's like also too, it's like you're I want to know what subject that this person teaches, because I don't know. I think that's a girl, right? I think it is. I'm pretty sure, because I don't, non-binary doesn't confuse me, but like a lot of people identify weird with that. But this is a girl, and it's also like, my goal is to educate people about my queerness. No, it's not. You're not to educate people on that. You're not there to have social education of people and re-indoctrinate them. You're there to teach them English or something. And it's like, I have to come out. Like, you've made teaching students about you. It's not about you. Like, that's the weird part, is it's all these people are so obsessed where it's like, skateboarding is now about being trans and gay. A classroom is all about being outwardly queer. No, it's not. These people are re-engineering society. They are members of the globalist American empire, the GAE. These are not citizens of the United States. And we are enemies in our own country. We live in two separate worlds. And that's what she's trying to say as a person of like, I need to re-educate your kids into the world that I live in and out of the world that you want them to learn, which is why you got to take your kids out of these stupid schools.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. On PragerU, no one else agrees with me at PragerU, but I say abolish the public schools. That's my thing. You know, I think that they are institutions that teach people how to be obedient to authority and not think critically and not think creatively. And because of that, you have an entire generation of people who will think these exact same things. And that's really sad, because, you know, education is in essence, I mean, the most amazing, beautiful thing that you can have, especially self-education, where people are going out and educating themselves. And you can do that by ordering my book, How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies.
Shameless, very shameless.
But it really is, you know, and I don't understand why. I think that if we're not going to abolish public schools, or at least, you know, try and homeschool your children, we need to be pushing, every conservative needs to be pushing for cameras in public schools, in all of the classrooms. That was the silver lining of the COVID pandemic, is that kids went home and then the parents saw their Zoom classes and saw what the kids were actually learning. We need cameras in every single public school. Why would you send your kid away for 7-8 hours a day and not know what's going on with some person who just got out of some four-year university all about leftism? And like, why would you trust them?
Yeah, I know. And I want to talk, I want to wrap this up in a second, but I got to let you guys know, as we talk about this, that you've heard a lot probably about the world and things that are going on, but make sure that you understand, when it comes to crypto, it's hard to know whether you want to save it, whether you want to trade it, whether you want to store it or stash it, which is why I got to talk to you about iTrust Capital, which is the number one crypto IRA and 401k platform in America that has over $1 billion in assets that can help invest your money and can bring you security. Why? Because their retirement accounts allow you to invest and trade your crypto and gold tax-free on the 24/7 platform. If you have an existing IRA or different investment account, like a 401k, you can roll those over with absolutely no penalty or taxes, which is amazing. If you're curious about how to trade these things and invest your money and get out of the fiat currency, which is inflating very quickly, and find ways to actually make a good return on your money, you should go to iTrust Capital, which makes investing in crypto safe and easy. You can log into your account 24/7 and you can invest quickly at the click of a button. And now they can be traded as easily as stocks. So if you go on to apps now, how quickly you can just buy things and you can trade. I'm sure you've seen it with all these apps like Robinhood and stuff, which, right. You know, you go in there and you buy and trade and sell. Those are rigged against you. But if you want to know this, iTrust Capital makes investing like in physical gold and silver and other things easy as well. And the best part is that iTrust Capital has low transparent pricing and is 90% cheaper than comparable options. So if you're looking for an IRA and you want to trade cryptocurrency and precious metals tax-free, go to iTrustCapital.com. And if you use promo code offensive, you'll get your first month free and free crypto IRA and gold IRA investor's guide. That's iTrust Capital, iTrustCapital.com. Use promo code offensive for your first month free and receive their crypto IRA and gold IRA investor's guide at no cost. And if those words are foreign to you and you don't understand them, then just check it out. Go to iTrustCapital.com and find out how you can take some of that cash flow that's losing its value and invest it into things that can hold their value and retain it. Because I think crypto is the future. I do. I personally do. And I think that you can figure out a lot there too with experts that can help you. I encourage you to check it out. iTrustCapital.com, promo code offensive. So as we wrap this up, as we relinquish this, as we go around, I understand with all these things, with you changing minds, with having, you know, this thought process, you're young too. People might not know you are 25. Young. You're 25 years old and you're already, you know, going out there, you're selling a book, and it's inspiring to people that you don't have to be old. John is what? John, how old are you?
21.
21. John's 21. Yeah. And so you can make a change. And so if people want to, you know, get the book, if they want to follow you, what's the best place that they can do that?
So like we talked about on the show, we hit some number one new release stats on Amazon, which is incredible. We've been in the top 100 for my entire launch week. And I have to thank all of you guys who purchased the book. And if you haven't gotten your copy yet, get your copy at Amazon, get it anywhere else books are sold. If you don't want to support Jeff Bezos and all those people, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, Target, Premier Collectibles for a signed copy, any of those places. It's looking like we might hit the New York Times bestseller list, but you never know, because we're conservative, so you never know about those things. But this is your guide to changing people's minds. There's 17 different chapters on basically every political and cultural topic out there, where most conservative books, I feel like, give you a diagnosis of the problems in America. I try to give people a real solution that you can use to actually go out there and change people's minds on all these different topics. So breaking down all of the left's biggest arguments and how you can actually use them. So How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, Taking on Liberal Arguments with Logic and Humor. Hope you guys get a copy.
Yeah, actually, do that. Support him on social media as well. If you can't afford the book, then and you can afford multiple books, I don't know, buy some for friends as well. You know, get them out there.
Buy
send
them
to people.
Liberals. Buy them for people
that need to understand and bring families back together. As half of families are deciding that are vaccinated, that they don't want to spend holidays around their unvaccinated family.
That's wild.
So now's the time to get a book like this and learn how to communicate in families. Also, as we close, guys, please remember to support this show. We already had problems this week. I'm going to explain them more tonight on You Are Here at 6 o'clock, which we have a great panel going on, which will be on as well, live at 6 p.m. Central Time at the You Are Here YouTube, which is back online. As I tell you, the free and easiest way to support this show is to go to Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast, Spotify. Leave a 5-star review. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And it really helps us out a lot. As you know, we're completely demonetized. We might read it on the show. Let me read two of these to you right now. Says from Not Even Offended, Bruh. Says, Elijah, I love the show. I drive the company truck and make the coworkers listen to your podcast, many of which have enjoyed your show. A few have actually got offended, though. And that's epic. It's about the truth and bringing it out there. Also, Not Even Offended, get them that book. Also, let me do this one last review here from Lig My Balls. Says, Elijah, you are simply the bestest, worstest show host. Do not worry. I've heard your cries. I am a simp for you, but from a distance and respectfully. Now I am married with a child, and you are married. Love your wife. She's awesome and gorgeous. I heard you like being mean, too, and I'm mean, but I'm kind of dumb, so I don't know. It's a tie between you and Savannah Crowder. You'd have to fight him a bit. Anyway, you and your team are amazing. I watch your show religiously. I wear my daughter's first word is going, I hope my daughter's first word is going to be COC for confetti of color, and I'll throw confetti on her. I'm a female, but simp for Sav because she's so cute and wonderful, and I love listening to her opinions and interjections. She's awesome. May God give you all the needed strength to continue speaking the truth and shining light on all of the idiotic and hypercritical crap. We love you. We support you. Thanks for being a shining light and making me and my husband laugh through the unknown season. God blessings to you all. Anyway, my name's Elijah Schaefer, the host of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. We usually have COC to put in Will's face and our guest's face, confetti of color, of course, that is. But of course, he's already had enough COC since he's been at the studio all day. Mm-hmm. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you actually tomorrow at around 11:30 a.m. Central Time. May God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.